of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourselves, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Reading from Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare you that I will restore to you double. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 145 responsively. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Lord, you are good to all, and
your work shall praise you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you. All people may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Lord, upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. A reading from Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my innermost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' But the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Last Thursday, I got a phone call that I was expecting. It was from the upholsterer, and he said, a couple weeks before this, I had picked out some upholstery fabric and took it home. They came and picked up my chair, my Lazy Boy recliner, and this piece of nice fabric that I had purchased. And he said, we'll call you when it's done in a couple weeks. So they called and said, I've got some bad news for you. Good news, too. Good news. I'm bringing your chair this afternoon. Bad news, though. We broke your chair. And but don't worry. Don't worry. We've replaced it. We got another one. I think you'll like it. It's a different, you know, brand new. But I think you'll like it. We'll bring it over. So I drove home thinking, wow, this is really strange. I don't know. What if I don't like it? So they the truck comes to in front of the house, and I went out because I didn't even want him to bring it in. You know, if I'm not going to like this chair, I don't even want it to be in my house, and so I'll just wait. And he whips off this covering, and it's my chair with the fabric that I had purchased. And he said, do you like it? And he could tell the look on my face. I was quite surprised, and I said, well, that's my chair. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, I'm so sorry that you misunderstood me, because I was really torn up, you know, very disappointed. But he said, I'm really sorry that you misunderstood me. I was just trying to let you know that it looks so nice. It's like a brand new chair, and that you'll really like it. And he said, I'm really sorry that you misunderstood. So I've got a nice chair. yeah, and I like it. Several years, a long time ago, I went to a retreat in Fargo, North Dakota, flew into Fargo, and hailed a taxi, and after he stowed my suitcase in the trunk, and he asked me where I wanted to go, and I said, to the Catholic seminary for this retreat, and he flips down the little flag that starts the meter running, and we start driving. I've never been to Fargo before, so I didn't know where this seminary was. And he drives out toward the edge of town, and I'm not concerned. I've never been here before. He goes out of town, and then he turns down this gravel road. And I'm thinking, I'm just wondering, you know, this is really an isolated place, this Cardinal Mensch Seminary. And so as soon as I'm thinking this, I see this sign, and it says, Holy Cross Catholic Cemetery. And I said, no, seminary, not cemetery. And he said, oh, I misunderstood you. He said, I was kind of wondering. I've never taken anyone to the cemetery with a suit. Have you ever been misunderstood? Or have you ever misunderstood someone else? I think it's part of our human condition. We want to be understood. We want to be known. We want people to understand not only what we're saying, but who we are. We want to be accepted and welcomed for who we are. Oftentimes, though, we don't really know, or we don't feel like we're really understood or accepted for who we are. Who is it that really understands us? Descartes said, to think is to be. Well, I think that it seems even more true. To be is to be misunderstood. I think Jesus would agree with that. At least the way that Matthew tells it, Jesus was being misunderstood. At the beginning of this chapter that we read toward the end of the chapter for today's gospel, at the beginning of this chapter, Matthew is telling about John the Baptist, who is in prison. And he sends his disciples to go find Jesus and ask him, are you really the Messiah that we've been waiting for, or should we be waiting for somebody else? He misunderstands. He doesn't really understand Jesus and know what he's about. And Jesus responds by naming his deeds of power. He says, go back and tell John of my deeds of power. Not the power like the power of an army, but power in healing, power in teaching. But in the passage that we just heard, Jesus' words to the crowd sound less of an explanation and more of a warning. He compares the crowd to a fickle audience who can't decide what they want. Or maybe it's a crowd that's split. Half the crowd wants this, half the crowd wants that. But either way, nothing seems to please this crowd. When John the Baptist came with his message of repentance, they complained that he was too harsh. And then when Jesus comes, saying all are welcome and proclaiming God's abundant favor, they complained about him too. To be is to be misunderstood. Jesus seems to be asking the crowd, what do you want? What do you want? What are you looking for? But he really doesn't expect them to answer. They can't. They don't know. They want to follow God. They want to grow and improve. Maybe you can resonate with that. Looking for God, looking for a way to deepen your faith life. But at the same time, that crowd that Jesus is speaking to, they just want to be left alone. They don't want to change. They know that to change is to lose something. Change can mean like so much loss, almost like dying. And more than anything else, the people who listened to Jesus, those first century folks, and even us today, we want desperately to grow, to be close to God, but not so much changing. We don't desperately want to change. We're afraid of change because it brings the unknown. Change isn't certain. Change means risk and likely loss. And that's why we stay in failed relationships or dead-end jobs or procrastinate with taking that first step, whether to abandon an addiction or to gain a healthier lifestyle. What we have is what we're used to. Maybe not so much. Maybe it's not such a good thing that we have, but at least we have it. At least it's something. And at least we know what to expect. And here's the difficult truth about life with God in Christ Jesus. You can't be in a relationship with Jesus and expect to be unchanged. That's a precondition of being involved with Jesus. Maybe the only precondition, that we have to recognize our need. Forgiveness, if you really think about it, has meaning only for those who have sinned. Grace only comes to those who are broken. The promise of eternal life and abundant life is only fulfilled in death. I think that's what Jesus was getting at in the prayer that he prayed. What you have hidden from the wise and the intelligent, you have revealed to infants. Jesus knows that this message, this kind of message of good news, is really only good news for those who can admit and claim their identity as one in need. The good news has little appeal to those first listeners or those of us today who think that we're independent, that we're self-made, I'm fine by myself, thank you very much. That good news doesn't appeal to us when we have that attitude. But it is good news. It is amazing good news to those who know their brokenness, to those who can admit their need, to those who turn to a God to be known and understood and accepted. It's like the first steps in a 12-step program. I admit that I am powerless, and I know I need a power greater than myself. The previous chapters of Matthew's gospel are filled with stories of Jesus encountering and healing all sorts of people. Lepers, Peter's mother-in-law, the soldier's servant, the woman who had that affliction for years and years, another woman who was presumed dead. And the one thing that all of these characters in Matthew's story have in common is that their need was real and acknowledged. True faith, according to these stories, is simply acknowledging that need and trusting that Jesus can respond. So that's what we do. Acknowledge the truth of our lives. We give thanks for what's good and right, but we also admit that there is pain and hurt and disappointment in our lives. And in that, we look to Jesus, where we trust that healing will come. The call from Jesus is so clear. You who are weary will find rest. You who feel accused will find forgiveness. You who feel abandoned will find community. You who feel disappointed will find relief. You who feel hurt will find healing. You who feel misunderstood will be known and loved and accepted for who you are, a precious, beloved child of God. Amen.